Welcome to the Radiant Podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Chapman, and if there's one thing I believe, it's that you're capable of making your dreams a reality and that the world needs you to be living out your purpose. One thing I love is to chat with people doing impactful work in hopes that we can all learn something from the conversation. Not to mention, we get to apply all of that wisdom to our own journey. Each week, you will hear just that here at the Radiant Podcast. So without further ado, let's get to it. Welcome back to the Radiant Podcast, and today we have my friend Heather Crabtree, a business coach for savvy female entrepreneurs, joining us. I think today's episode is one of my favorite conversations I've had on here because Heather brings a layer of vulnerability and transparency to the episode that's so unique and so special. It makes for a really meaningful conversation, and we talk about the high highs and the low lows of running a business, and I cannot wait for you guys to hear. So let's get to it. Hey, Heather.
Hey, Kelsey.
I am so excited to have you on today. We've been following along with each other on the World Wide Web for for the last few years, and we're finally getting to chat. I'm so excited. I would love for you to start by sharing about yourself, who you are, what you do. Let our radiant listeners into a little peek of your story.
Yeah. So first I'm a mama. So I have two kids and I have a baby on the way, actually. I'm 42 years old with a baby on the way.
But
no one else does that on your show. And I've been married for 15 years. So that's been amazing. And I am now a business coach for service-based female entrepreneurs who have reached that kind of, already hit that six-figure mark, and they're really wanting to scale their business. So that's the women that I work with now. But the journey has been a roller coaster to get here. I actually grew up thinking that I wanted to be a lawyer. I went to law school. I became a lawyer. I hated it. So my third year of law school, my father also passed away when I was in my early 20s. And so that really was a big pivot for me. So I quit law really quickly. I decided that wasn't for me. I did meet my husband in law school though, so all was not lost. And then I started an event planning company back years and years and years ago. And I had that company for 11 years. I grew it. I actually got a business partner. I had my children during that time. And in 2014, we sold it. Before that, kind of halfway into it, I was getting a lot of questions about how we were building our business. And I had a business partner, so that was new for a lot of people. And how was I doing that? And how we were doing it together? And so I started coaching people in the wedding and event industry. And that started my coaching journey 8 years ago. And so when we sold the business, I went full time. I've always been an entrepreneur since I quit law. I went full time into the coaching realm, and I've kind of done all in the last five years now. I started doing one-on-one coaching, and then I've had courses, I've had a membership, I've hosted sold-out conferences, I have a group program. I've kind of done all the things, and now I'm in a season of really simplifying and coming back to where I want to be in this part of my life.
Well, I have so many questions just from that, because I too have had courses and masterminds and, you know, group programs. And so let's start there. I'm curious. Okay. I know you simplified this year. I'm curious what led you to strictly focus on your mastermind. Also, I would love to hear, being in the coaching industry online, it has gone through significant changes in the last 5 years because it was newer online 5 years ago. And now you can throw a rock and hit a business coach on every corner. But that doesn't mean everyone is really qualified to be a business coach. So I would love to hear from someone who's really seen the industry change so much in such a short period of time. Yeah. So for me, the simplification, I'll answer that part first. Another part of the story that I didn't share is 3 years ago, my daughter, who was 9 at the time, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So that has been a pivotal, hello, Heather, part of my business and my life. You know, like that was a moment where I had to make decisions and my family always comes first. So for me, I just had a lot of things going on. At the time when she was diagnosed, I had just come off. That was when I had just done the conference. It was amazing. Everyone was already asking when I was going to do the next one. I had a 6-month group coaching program that I had been running for a couple of years, but we kind of launched the next version of it. The January, right before she was diagnosed in February, 2017, the January before, I just launched a membership and had 300 women in it at the very beginning. Like everything was kind of blooming in all aspects of my life. And then a bomb was dropped on us. And so I had to really figure out for that next year. Thankfully, I had a team at the time. Well, I have a team now, but I had a much larger team. And they kind of took over my business for me because it was just something that we were not prepared for. And so I really think for that year of 2017, my business kept going on, luckily, because I had built it and I had that foundation of, you know, we knew what our core values are. We knew what we wanted. We knew who our people were. And my team was really, really solid. And so kind of they were able to take it over for me. I was still in it, but not like I had planned on being in it. So that moment for me really changed everything, honestly.
Absolutely.
For us. And where I wanted to go, and where I was able to go, because time was limited. My daughter was, you know, she's still going through treatment. She relapsed this summer. So we're going through treatment again. And I don't think people really understand all that goes into it. It's a lot. It's very time consuming and it's very emotional and draining. But it's also come with its amazing rewards too. Our family is really a lot closer and we just don't take things for granted and all the things that come with that. But so for me this year, I really wanted to go all in on one thing. And I had to figure out what that was that made sense for me. And what I was really good at, like what was the one thing that I was really good at? Because I know eventually I'll probably bloom out again. But for right now, I just wanted to focus on one thing. And so that was my mastermind/group coaching program that I have. And so I went all in on that.
Well, I love that you had built a business that allowed you to pivot to adjust for your family. I mean, that's the whole reason I started building something 4 years ago was knowing that I wanted to be a mom one day. You can't expect, you can't foresee everything you'll have to navigate raising kids.
Right.
And so I wanted to build something that would be a little bit more developed and flexible by the time I did have kids. And so, man, obviously what you've had to navigate is hell, but I'm glad that you built a business that catered to that. Has that changed how you mentor and coach women in building their business, building a business that can thrive if they need to step away for a season?
Yeah, I think that notion has been enhanced. When I was in my early 20s, my father passed away. So I think it has kind of been a part of my life about you don't know what's going to happen. I approach everything with positivity and gratitude, but I also, so I'm not like, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen and let's plan for that kind of person. But I also know being 42 years old, having two kids, having one on the way that was not planned. I mean, all the things that could happen have happened to me. And, I think you have to be able to adjust. And I think the biggest thing for me and what I teach the women that I work with is that I think we're so hard on ourselves that when we do have to pivot, it feels almost like starting over. And I've had this conversation a lot with people recently. And for me, that was hard because I'm a Enneagram 2 wing 3. So I have the achiever in me. and I think for me, it was really hard to feel like, okay, I got to this point and now I have to give all of this away. But what always came
at the forefront was like, but my family is most important to me. So that I'm not giving that away. So you just have to make adjustments. And I think for the people that I work with, the women I work with, it helps them because they get like, they understand that I've been through all of the crap.
Yeah.
And so pretty much anything that comes their way, I'm like, okay, we got this. Like, let's not do doomsday, worst case scenario. Let's go, okay, this is where we're at. Let's accept where we're at. And how do we move forward and come up with a solution instead of complaining about everything that's happening to us?
Man, so it sounds like it's, I mean, you obviously coach from a place of being adaptable and just, you know, taking everything that comes your way, adapting, choosing positivity. I mean, as an Enneagram 7, I can appreciate positivity. Yes. Maybe to a fault. I'm in a season where I'm actually having to face some like feelings that I'm like, oh, feelings suck. I thought I really felt, and now I'm feeling like, oh, I can't be, I'm having to like step outside of my positive bubble I've created and really face some things. And it's been
challenging. I'm a 2, so I have all the feelings. Yeah. And I feel everybody else's feelings. So.
Yes. So what has that looked like? Running a business, feeling, I would love, you know, for a season, I interviewed Enneagram numbers all the time because I really thought I wanted to put together business material around the Enneagram that wasn't written for a 1, 3, or 8, because I feel like that's what leadership material is catered to. And so I loved interviewing 2s because like, how do you really juggle feeling your employees' feelings and wanting to care for them, but also being the boss and being your own advocate?
Oh yeah. I would say it's a strength and a weakness. So for me, it's really making sure I set up those boundaries, but I'm going to love on people. That's just my nature. And I'm going to love them to a fault, probably more than they want to be loved on. They're probably like, just leave me alone, Heather, like get out of my life at some point. Right. I just want to give as much as I can. But what I've learned being Enneagram 2, that you can give so much that you drain yourself. And so, I've really had to, for me, meditation has been amazingly helpful for me to really start the day and look inward instead of focusing immediately outward, which was my go-to, and, realizing that my self-worth is not, I guess, solving other people's issues.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as I've gotten older and as, you know, just had been in the business longer, you learn those things. And but it's good. I mean, I'm able to help people in ways and love on them that sometimes I think I'm able to see things in people that they are not able to see in themselves. And I think that is because I'm such a deep relationship gal. So I kind of know the ins and outs before they even say it.
I love that.
And that's really helpful in what I do.
Oh, so helpful. That's one of my favorite things I get to do as well. It's just like really pulling out the golden people and kind of helping them see the trajectory of their dream or their vision, their idea, and beyond what they're able to see for themselves sometimes, because we're able to see those unique giftings they're carrying. And so I love that that's a gift of yours. What, you know, back to how this industry has changed, you know, it's become so saturated so fast. And, you know, we've also seen the like rise and fall of different social media platforms over the years. I bet Facebook was the thing when you were getting started, or at least running your events business. You're probably growing your Facebook page at the time. And then it was Instagram. And now it's like, we're only focus on your email list because social's going under. What have the big, you know, what's the roller coaster done for you as a business owner and a coach in this space? And what would your advice be for someone building specifically an online business?
Yeah, that's such a good question, because it has exploded crazily since I know for me when I started. I started my business literally with a Facebook group. That's how everything exploded really quickly.
Yeah.
I started this Facebook group. It really was kind of one of these things that it was called Savvy Business Owners I was just like, I wanted a place. I had come out, you know, I had been in law, and then for 11 years I'd owned my own business. But it was very, I wasn't in the online space, you know, so it was very different. And I felt alone when I came into the online space, 'cause I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I know I can do this, and I'm a learner and a knowledge junkie. So I was like, I want to consume all of it. But as I was learning it, I was like, I don't know about this. And this is weird. Like, I don't see people in person anymore. And it was just this huge change in my life. For me, the Facebook group kind of not only did it allow me to connect with other people, but it also gave me that feeling of my loneliness kind of went away, because I was able to connect. And then it grew into, you know, being able to connect those people in that group. It wasn't about me anymore. You know, it was about the people that are in the group and each other and how to connect them. And really, that's how my business started. And that's what allowed me to then go into a membership and have a group coaching program. And so I'm thankful for that. I think Facebook groups are very different now. And I, you know, when I give people advice on if they're going to use that to attract people into their business, I would give you very different advice than what I did when I first started. But I think no matter what, with social, with email, with whatever it is, and in coaching, it all comes back to relationships, for me at least.
Yeah.
And so it's putting a face to a name, and it's knowing the people more than just a number, or, you know, how much they're making, or, you know, who they know, or whatever. None of that really matters to me. I just love meeting people. I'm a definite extrovert. I love being around people. So it's sometimes hard because I work from home. But for me, it really is about that. So when I struggled for a long time saying I was a coach, because I would call myself a business strategist because I have a business background and I have a law background. And so I was like, well, I can't be a coach because, you know, I don't know. Something in me was like, I'm not legitimate for that. I don't have a certification for it, but technically that's what I was doing all the time, was coaching people. And so I think we get, and this is, some people are going to argue with me on this, but I think we get caught up in these titles and what they mean and what they don't mean. And for me, it's really just about how can I help you, or can I help you? And what are your needs, and do we fit together? And so now I say I'm a business coach, but I mean, you could call me an advisor, a consultant. I mean, there's a million things that you could say, depending on, you know, kind of where you come from too, what your background is, what the word you're going to use. So I think though, what's happened is that I saw this in the wedding industry when I was in the event and wedding industry. There was no really, anyone can enter it. You know, you didn't have to have a whole bunch of certifications to do it. And in the online space, right, anyone can, you have a computer, basically you're in. But I think that, you know, that works at first, but I think to be sustainable and to really know that someone's, you know, actually good at what they do, you don't have to prove yourself. It just comes. Like if you've been in business for 10 years and you're still, you have a business and you're, you know, you're getting good results, and I think then you don't have to explain it. Like, it is.
Kind of the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get into this like, oh, they're better than me because they have that, or I'm better than them because I have that. I think we all have our own gifts. And I do think that, unfortunately, you're probably going to, and we've all done it. We've hired someone who we thought was really amazing. It all looked good on paper, all looked good on their website. And then we worked with them. We were like, wow, that was a complete fail. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those people don't last.
I totally agree. One thing you mentioned that I was like, ooh, I want to talk about that is, yeah, you were saying, you know, the numbers or the amount of money you make, and kind of what I think you might have been alluding to, maybe not, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm totally assuming. Yeah. But in the online space, we lead with our numbers and our money a lot. Like, no other place in business have I seen people like share their income like we do online. It was kind of weird for me at first. And then there's also whole other conversation. And I'm Southern. And I mean, you're from Southern Indiana. I mean, we didn't talk about money like that.
Yeah.
And so A, that, but then also, then there's this whole other conversation of people will be like, oh, I had a $1 million launch, but they aren't sharing that they spent $999,000 to have that launch. No one's saying like, oh yeah, I sold, you know, 70,000 of e-courses this month, but 25% asked for refunds. And I spent really 69,000 on Facebook ads. Those were a flop. You know, no one's saying any of that. So there's really not this like transparency. It's a kind of a weird space. I think it's shaking out the further this industry develops. It's a relatively like new thing to like have all these online businesses. I mean, the dot-com boom was like 19 years ago only. And so it is interesting to see that all shake out. But what do you think about, like, I think some people really listen to interviews like this and they're like, oh, well, it must be nice. You got in at the right time in business. Kelsey, you have these followers. Like, oh, yeah, like it must be nice to get, you know, speak from that point of view. But really, like, it's not about numbers or how much money you're leading with when you're telling your audience how much you're making. And I think we do this a lot. I could rant about it all day long. I think if you just go back like 30 episodes, you'll hear me rant about it. But I had a friend build a coaching business with less than a six-figure coaching business with less than 1,000 people on our list. It's not only about the audience. Yeah. So
no, it's not. And it's really, again, I think it comes back to relationships. It's how are you taking care of your people? You know, what are the results you're getting them? And those speak for themselves. There's always going to be the people that are going to sell with the numbers. And here's the thing. There's two ends of the spectrum. There's people that we'll never talk about numbers, which I don't think is healthy. And then there's people that all they talk about is numbers. And half the time, the numbers aren't realistic or true. And so I think we have to, you know, because I know for me, what you just said, for me, I struggled with the money part of it because I, like you said, I was not raised to talk. We didn't talk about that. It's not what you led with. Now, I'm not saying we didn't talk about it, but we didn't lead with that. We weren't like, oh, and I don't come from money. So, you know, we weren't like, oh, we have all this money. Like, no, we didn't. It was the exact opposite. So I think for me, I struggled so long with talking about money. And I realized how that money mindset really affected my business. And so I think that there's two ends that you kind of got to be careful of. And you can't go one or the other, because they'll both land you in a bad place. So for me, I've actually worked on the opposite of, you know, I've always had these big financial dreams because my financial dreams help me, you know, with my impact goals and my personal and freedom goals, what I call them. And so now I can openly talk about it. And it's interesting because I say that numbers don't matter. The women that I work with have already kind of reached that. They've been in business. They're established business owners. They've already reached that six figures in their business. So to say money doesn't matter, people are like, well, but you say that you work with six figure women. You know, what do you mean money doesn't matter? But that's because I've worked with all different types. And I know those women are the women that I can help the most right now. And the question I always ask them, and I get different answers, and I always know if they have worked on money mindset or not with the answers that I get. And that is, how much do you, so I always ask them, where are you going? So I ask them, financially, what do you want? So in the next 12 months, what is that financial goal for you? And some will struggle with it. And then I say, where are you at right now? And then we look at, okay, this is where I am. This is where I want to go. Okay, let's come up with a plan how to get there. And some people really struggle with answering that. It's really uncomfortable for them. And so I think we have to get to this place that, no, we're not just using money and figures to sell and be like sleazy and, you know, use that as a way to say, like, we're fabulous. But I also think we need to be more open about talking about the numbers, the real numbers, in a realistic way.
Totally. And it can serve as a way to clarify the kind of help you need. I needed a very different kind of help when I was getting started to when I was focusing on scaling. And so I think that's very normal. And I'm kind of with you. You don't really want to fall into either either side of the street, either ditch on either side of the street, because
right.
I think there's value in kind of trying to figure out the straight and narrow path in the middle versus kind of falling off to either side. And I've kind of had to really kind of lean towards the side you're talking about, working on my money mindset, talking about it, believing for things is not that hard for me. What can happen for me money mindset wise, like I can have aspirations about money and 1000% believe they're possible, like, oh, that will happen. No problem one day, but it's the right now. It's the one day is not hard for me to believe for. It's the right now, the practical of like, well, I'm not seeing that. And big moments of like financial, not necessarily failure, but even this year went through a big pivot of, I ran an Instagram agency and one algorithm crushed it overnight. Oh, wow. Yeah. I had worked up to a certain level of income, went from $20,000 months to zero overnight. Yeah. And so.
No, and that's honest. And I think that is what happens a lot, and that exactly what you're talking about doesn't get talked about. For me, I know, where I was and then where I had to go, because I had to choose to where I was going to go, And so I chose to go knowing that I wasn't going to make as much money, because I literally had to be in the hospital with my daughter every day. I'm not Superwoman. I can't do it all. So I think we make choices, and I think, for me as a mom, it was really, really hard, because I'm also a very strong businesswoman. And so there's so many ups and downs. I think we're so afraid to share them because this is what I think that I've learned and what I teach to the women that I work with is, don't let your self-worth get wrapped up where you are financially. That's going to change, and it changed when I had my kids. It changed, when I was, before I had kids, I had a lot more time. I don't know what I did with my time now, because I'm like, what the heck? But as I'm getting ready to have another baby, that's why I wanted to simplify, because I think you have to adjust and work and make what works for you happen. And I get it, because it's people think it's sexy and it's fun, and it's like they are the golden children, like they are the people that everyone looks up to. But I think that those people that we all look up to, they still have all those same struggles. They're just maybe not that they're not open about it, but we're not seeing that. We're not seeing all the things that are happening behind the scenes. And so for me, again, it just goes back to self-worth, and you can't tie your self-worth up into like how much money you're making that month, because that is like self-destruction if you do that.
Oh, totally. And for really facing that I did that this year was, I was a straight A student. For me, money is not so much tied to image, but as to like my capability and my, my level of talent, or my level of extraordinaire as I, so deeply desire as an Enneagram 7.
Yeah.
I just want to be extraordinary at everything. And so, my money was really tied to that. And even more than that, it was tied to my freedom of like, oh my God, if I lose this money, and I thought I had arrived, if I lose it, what does it say about my freedom? Am I going to have to regress in life? Am I going to have to work for the man? All these fears surfaced, and it forced me to do a lot of money mindset work and a lot of identity work.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
This podcast is sponsored by Denison Ministries. Denison Ministries is a movement creating 7 million culture-changing Christians who are committed to carrying out the truths of the gospel to their sphere of influence through a variety of ways, which is why Denison Ministries is excited about sponsoring what God's up to here at the Radiant Podcast. One of the cool ways Denison Ministries helps Christians feel closer to God is through their Part in the Mess podcast, made for those navigating the messiness of parenting. Part in the Mess seeks to equip parents with trusted biblical guidance, helping them to raise their children with strength and joy in a changing and often challenging culture. With guests like Bob Goff, Jamie Ivey, and Priscilla Shire, this podcast is for just about everyone. You can sign up for weekly Part in the Mess podcast blogs and subscribe to Part in the Mess podcast episodes at partinthemess.org.
So how have you worked? What have been the most helpful tools for you working on your money mindset? Because again, you've been no stranger to having to navigate these same sentiments for different reasons.
Yeah, I hired a coach. So I practice what I preach.
Yeah, same.
I hired a coach and we not only worked on money, but we worked on a lot of the things that, you know, and the things that I had no idea that were in there in my brain. They would come out every session. Her name's Kelly Ruda. She's amazing. And she really helped me just realize that the stories I had been telling myself, even though I had no idea, I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, repeat what you just said, you know? And I still have my little booklet of, I don't work with her currently, but I would refer her to anyone. She's amazing. But she really helped me understand and that self-worth, you know, again, I'm an Enneagram 2, but I'm a wing 3. So that achiever in me has always been there. You know, I'm same in school, you know, when I went to law school, and it's always achieve. And never really, which led me to never feel like enough, which is crazy. Cause if you ask anybody, it's interesting. Like today, I'll give you an example of something that just happened today. So I didn't know I had this call. They booked it last minute. And so this morning I woke up to, I had a call with a gal in South Africa. And I was not prepared for it because I didn't know what was happening. And I was like, okay, I got this. We'll do this. And afterwards, when we got on the call, I wasn't the right coach for her. I was, you know, what she wanted to do was not what I help people with. And so we got off the call and it was great. And I told my husband, I was like, oh, like I didn't book that client because I wasn't the right person. And he just kind of giggled at me like, what are you talking about? First of all, you just spoke with someone from South Africa. Like, you're in the States in Phoenix. You spoke with someone from South Africa. They found you online. You know, can you see the bigger picture here? And the achiever in me is like, but I didn't book the client, even though I know they aren't the right fit for me. So it's so crazy what we do. And when I worked with Kelly, she really helped me, you know, go, okay, you got to set the achiever side of you aside for a second, and we got to dig really deep here. And why are you struggling with this so much? And so all the childhood stories and all the stuff came out, and yeah, it was crazy. It was emotional, but it was so necessary for me to really move forward.
Man, I actually just so deeply related to that I might take that back to my counselor. Oh, I think because if I feel like I can't meet the needs of a client, I immediately am like, why can't I deliver what they need? And it's like, maybe maybe someone's just a better fit for their set of needs. Like there's a huge caretaking thread in my story of like almost everyone in my life. And so I'm like seeing something I really relate to right there. I too worked with the money mindset person earlier this year, Jenna Strickland, and it really it illuminated so much for me, changed my life. It really was like, I actually happened to like pay for it, book it, like right before my business fell apart. And it was like the kindest gift from God of like, that was already there to start dealing with the issues. Or maybe I was on like week session 2 when it all happened. Like I got to my session and I'm like, well, we're going to test my belief in abundance, because one algorithm just leveled me overnight.
Yes. Well, when I started working with Kelly, it was just, I can't remember now. Maybe that wasn't. No, I'm in a program and it's people of like making millions of dollars. It's crazy to me sometimes. Like, and I'm talking like $30 million, not just a million, like 30 million. So I always have this in this group. I always have imposter syndrome, which I know we all struggle with in different ways, but it's been interesting to me to really become aware of that. But in that, I think, you know, I don't know. I guess the thing is we all struggle with these same things. We think we're so different, but we're not. No matter what level you're at, it does not matter. We're all struggling with the same things, and we just need to be okay with saying it, you know, because saying that you're struggling right now does not mean you're a bad business owner, a bad person, or whatever. Like, we all have these struggles. It's okay, you know, just acknowledge it, because not acknowledging it to other people also usually means we're not acknowledging it in ourselves.
Totally. Well, and it kind of seems like the next tier of success, you know, for lack of better words, you kind of revisit the same struggle just in a new expression. So it's like, oh, I think I really don't believe anyone who would tell me they're immune to struggling. Oh, they might not show it, but like, we've all got problems. You know, there's a reason there. I mean, I'm not inviting this into my life, and I truly believe in abundance, but there's a reason people do say more money, more problems, you know?
Yes.
And so for those of you out there wondering if all your problems will go away the more successful you get, sorry, they won't. They'll just take a different expression. And so, although I do believe there's a solution and happiness and joy, and it's not going to limit you, you know, I'm not trying to sink into horrible limiting beliefs there. But man, Heather, like, your honesty is just so appreciated. So I would love for you to share kind of what's next. You know, you're navigating London's treatments right now. You've got a baby on the way. I heard you say it was, I didn't know this, but I heard you say sometime earlier in the episode, baby number 3 was a surprise.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So surprise baby. And what's kind of next with your family, your business? I'm excited to hear.
Yeah. So my daughter is still going through treatments, London. She's 12 right now. We started this journey with her when she was 9. So she's undergone tons of chemotherapy, lots of radiation, several surgeries. She's had 2 stem cell transplants, immunotherapy. Then she was clear of cancer for 8 months, and then she relapsed this summer. And so we've been treating it again. So when she was diagnosed with stage 4. It's called neuroblastoma is what she has. And it spreads really quickly, but it basically had covered all of her body. So I don't know. That obviously was a huge change in her life. But now it's just, we call it our normal. And I know that's so weird. And London and I were just saying yesterday how she'll make jokes about cancer. And I'm like, you know, we can't say that around everyone because some people won't think that's funny, you know, but that's become our normal. And I don't know if that's sad or okay, or I don't know. Therapy. I'm still in therapy for all of that. But so I do have a therapist. You were asking.
I love therapy. Therapy and coaching, like the
I will always probably have a coach and a therapist. I need that. But I think for that, you know, we've just learned so much. I can't even, like, I wouldn't be able to even, this isn't enough time to go through all of it. But you know, we're just gonna keep moving forward, and we've really stayed positive through the whole thing, even at the darkest times. I mean, there's been many times where we thought we were gonna lose her, you know, her lungs have collapsed. It's been just, I can't even explain how hard it's been. And then when my daughter was diagnosed, my son was 4, and so he's 7 now, you know. So we also as parents had decided that, you know, we have a child with cancer and that's going to take a lot of our time, but we also have another child that needs just as much of our time, because we are, you know, we want to be amazing parents. And so that has been challenging as well, because then it's like, okay, but we have a marriage and we need to give to that, because that's, you know, if we don't have that, then all of it's coming down, you know? And so, and then it's myself, like, taking care, you know, my husband and I taking care of ourselves as well, not just taking care of each other. And so it's been a lot of, for me, letting go of trying to do it all, because I am an Enneagram 2 and I'm a helper. I can give help really easily, but it was really hard for me to accept help, because I felt like if I was accepting help, then I was failing, which I know isn't true, but that's just kind of how I felt. And so I've really, through therapy and coaching and all this stuff that I've had to, like, work on, meditation every day, like, okay, let's center yourself and remember, like, where we're at. And I've had to remember to let people in and let them help me. And that doesn't mean that I'm failing or that I'm not good enough. And that's been a huge lesson for myself. And then, yeah, we weren't expecting baby number 3. We were done with having children. And Yeah, we're having a baby. So it's, you know, but I just believe that things, I'm not, okay. I know people say things happen for a reason. And I think when you have a child that's diagnosed with cancer, or you have anybody that has an illness in your life, that kind of stings sometimes because you're like, wait, this was meant to happen. This was happening for a reason. Like, what is the reason that my 9-year-old got diagnosed with cancer? Please tell me that.
Yeah.
But I do believe that we have a choice in how we live and how we react to things. And so I have really worked on me internally. And so, like I said, meditation, coaches, therapists, therapy for me, and really making sure that I'm okay first, because I know if I'm not okay, then those emotions that I have are carried on to my family, and that isn't fair to them. And so I just, my motto is positive attitude, grateful heart. That doesn't mean bad things don't happen, because they happen every day to us, but I just choose to live and see the positive and stuff. And so that when the bad things do happen, it's like, okay, we got this, and come up with a solution. Like, how can we make this better? How can we not solve it exactly, but what can we do? I'm not going to sit around and complain about it. That's not my thing. Now, I also know not everyone has that support system that allows them to do that. And so I'm not saying you're a bad person if you have these, you know, things that are happening and you're like, oh, that's great, Heather, but I don't have, you know, either a spouse or a community. My community really, really stood behind us when Lennon was diagnosed. And so I just think that, you know, I'm not looking down on anyone that feels a certain way. I just think, make sure you're finding ways to help yourself just as much as you're helping everyone else, especially for people like, you know, Enneagram 2s like me. has been my biggest lesson. And then for me, it's just being open to what is and what can be, and not putting, I think I've always been so goal oriented, and I've said, okay, I've never, you know, I'm like you, what you said, I know I can believe and I can dream, but it's, I've also had to go, okay, but is that for me right now? And being okay if it's not. So for me, it's really, I went all in, with Your Savvy Business Circle, which is my mastermind group program. And that's all I'm doing for my business. And I'm just going all in on that. And then, yeah, just being there for my family, you know, and I'm okay with those. I'm on the board of directors for a pediatric cancer organization. I mean, there's other things I do, but I just know how amazing life is and can be. And I also know that it can leave at any moment. And I learned that early on in life. And so for me, it's not worrying about what will be. It's just like trying to focus on the now and how much joy and gratitude I can have for what I have now. And so, you know, that's loving the days that are really hard in business, or the loving the days that are really finding the, there might only be one little speck of goodness in that day, but finding that little speck of goodness, I don't know. That's how I approach life, I guess. And it's served me well so far.
Yeah. I mean, your perspective is a breath of fresh air. And I think anyone navigating any sort of painful life circumstance will find your perspective to be really encouraging. So I encourage them to go hear your voice in their ear over on your podcast. Tell us a little bit about that. What do you have going on over there?
Yeah. So I started my podcast last year, but then when Lennon relapsed, I was just like, okay, I gotta stop that for a while, which was okay because I wanted to do seasons anyway. So my podcast is Your Savvy Business and Life with Heather Crabtree. And I really speak to the women that I serve, which are service-based female entrepreneurs who are looking to scale their business. But I love podcasting. I love chatting. Mine is not interview style. So it's, I really share kind of the frameworks and the things that I teach people that I work with. So I teach that on my podcast, like the foundations of all of that for the season. I think every season is a little bit different. The first season was more about sharing more about what was kind of going on in life and business and kind of how
the broader terms, and this season is a little bit more specific.
Well, I love it. And I think our Radiant listeners will love that. They're kind of here tuning in to hear kind of inspirational and encouraging stories of how to build their business. And they can kind of go listen to, they can kind of go listen to you and hear them, hear the tactical strategies of how to grow and build it. And so, I think it's a great opportunity for them to take their knowledge a little bit further and hear your encouraging voice in their ears. So, man, Heather, it has been a joy to hear your story, to have you on. Where can everyone find you? Where can everyone keep up with you if they want to work with you? Tell us all the things.
Yeah. The easiest way is just heathercrabtree.com. And then I love Instagram. So I'm Heather_Crabtree there.
I love Instagram too. That's how I got my start. So it has been such a joy to have you. Thank you so much for coming on the Radiant Podcast. I can't wait till next time.
Thank you so much, Kelsey.
Hey, don't go yet. I would love it if you go over to iTunes right now and leave a review. I love hearing your feedback, and it really makes a difference in getting the Radiant Podcast name out there. And while you're at it, why don't you subscribe and then share this episode on Facebook or Instagram or wherever your social media platform is of choice. Lastly, I'd love to keep up with each other. Come find me on Instagram at Kels Chapman and let's get to know each other.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.